and as well as share this with you. So please, everyone take one of these.
I'll take one. You take this.
Pass it around. Okay. I talked about creating a zone. I remember my four tips yesterday. Creating a zone, taking off your handcuffs, canceling Friday, and trying to get beyond life and death. Rav Lichtenstein and Rav Amital, but you can tell this is Rav Lichtenstein's handwriting, would post this letter in all the hallways of Yeshiva Erev Yom Kippur. This is part of my Yom Kippur, to read Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's letter. And the second part of my Yom Kippur was to see Tova Lichtenstein, his wife, as the enforcer. Shoftim v'shotrim. Rav Aaron was the shofet, Tova was the shoter. Maka b'marda. She would stand in the hallways, Yom Kippur night, and if you dared talk, if you dared socialize, if you dared just hung out, hey, how's it going? You would get screamed at in the shrillest Boston accent you could ever imagine. And if you still didn't listen, then you got the violence. Then you got the actually moving, lean. It's not a day. It's not a day for, again, if you're just fasting and kapara, then it's just saying vidui and fasting and that's it. But the next rung on the ladder is lifnei Hashem. Yom HaGadol V'Nor. And to get to that level, it has to be organic. It has to be enveloping. It has to be immersive. And to make it immersive, unlike Rosh Hashanah, make it immersive, you have to really be careful about the pre and post. That's really where it rises or falls. If you ask me, for boys your age, where is it going to rise and fall? It's going to be at those cutting. And you're not always going to have that, by the way. When you have kids, Mirtz Hashem, your Yom Kippur is going to be very different. You're going to be not juggling kids, but you take this one, I take this one, you have a lot on your hands. My parents are with me at this stage, and my parents are not here for this Yom Kippur. Last year, Yom Kippur, I didn't have that. I was wheelchairing and moving, and 2 years ago. So, right now, you're in that sweet spot where you're mature enough to understand it, but not yet responsible to anyone beyond yourself. That's not going to last forever. That window is going to close really soon. Trust me. You're going to miss, I remember one Yom Kippur, I was with my wife, half the time in her room because she was pregnant and just, trying to be there for her. So Yom Kippur is going to change really quickly. And if you have the ability right now to lock in the zone, you'll see you'll be able to do it on demand in 10 years from now. So then when you're not with your little baby and someone else holding the baby, okay, click, switch, Yom Kippur. Because you know what it is. You know that place. You know where you're going to. But if you don't have that place built, it's hard to ever get there. So try to start building it now. So let's read this letter. But the reason I printed it out is I want you to have it. I want you to fold it. I want you to put it into your machzor. And this can be one of your props for the rest of your life and say, oh, I learned in yeshiva, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein in yeshiva. People tell me stories about him. This is how he wanted Yom Kippur to go down. And this is this letter was all over the place. Like on every window, door, wall, it was all over the place. Now on the back, I gave you an English translation, but the English translation is mine. So I just, so you should have that. But we'll read the Hebrew and you can read it through. I'll read it with you because some of the handwriting is a little bit hard to read. Erev Mala Yom HaKippur. This was, 22 years ago. But it was the same letter that just crossed out the name. In those days it was white out. We whited out the other. We added the proper date. This is the one I have on file. L'chol Tamidi HaYeshiva V'Archeo. There's a lot of guests here. There'll be guests this year, but not. It used to be just, the minhag in the yeshivas, you bring a sleeping bag and a machzor and you just find some place to camp out. So it's not that way anymore this year because of Corona. But the place was, it must have been close to 900, 1,000 people in the Beis Medrash. It won't be this year, but it used to be. L'kras Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol V'Hanara. We've talked about that phrase already. That's not Yom Kippur. It's Gadol V'Nara. Hinenu bazel lehair ulo'rer mechadash. I want to make the following point to stress. Al aschus v'hachova, the privilege and the responsibility, liyayed, to designate. Ad kama shiyat kulano magas, as much as possible. Es hayom kulo, la'avodas Hashem tzufa. Tzufa means pure avodas Hashem. L'tara v'latzfila. Yesh l'tzamtzim k'chol ha'efshar. Try to limit as much as possible. B'sichas chulin. Ulhimana Mimifkashe Mireus, and to avoid socializing. Shamnam, Bizmanam of Imkomam, in the right time and place, Tovim, Ksherim Kshelatzmam. You're fine, nothing with socializing. Ach Asher Lozeh Moed, this is not the time. Velozeh Atar, this isn't the place. Lasak Behem. Alachas kama v'kama sheish lihimana kalil, entirely. Mikol sicha sheish bar nidner shel kalas rosh. Certainly anything that's kalas rosh. I guess the best way I can say, like, what's kalas rosh? Like, all of a sudden, you know, sharing Seinfeld's story, like where would be kalas rosh? Kalas rosh would be, in 2 years from now, when you're home for shul, for Yom Kippur, and all of a sudden there's some girls in shul, and you know, you act a little different when you're in the presence of girls because you want to make a better impression. That would be one form of kalas rosh, right? Where there's nothing wrong with, you know, speaking to girls or, you know, trying to meet girls, so like your age, where you're on the road to. But, you know, I mean, you know that at this point, when you're in the presence of young ladies, you know, you want to put on your best and you want to make a good impression. So that would be kalas rosh. Kalas rosh should obviously be talking about sports. Kalas rosh should be talking jokes. Anything, let's say Yom Kippur, all serious. What are the rabbi doing? But that would also be kalas rosh. But anything that's kalas rosh. Okay, Ach Hashem, right? Guy goes over to the rabbi and says, I can't believe it, my team's in the playoffs after so many years. Oh my goodness, they finally reached the championship. The game's even keeping. What am I going to do? I can't believe it. He says, why don't you tape it? He says, what? Shacharis or all the tefillos? I got a whole list. Rabbi, what's Yom Kippur without Yom Kippur, Chuck? And then, what? Chocolates? Well, this. Okay. Should I see? So you tell that joke and I'm giving you the heter. Kalas Rosh. Vinanu Chosrim al Bakasha via Azarat Kifa. A request and a strong warning for Ravaran to use. Ravaran would never, ever use the word warning. He was the softest person around. Like, it was so hard for him to flex his muscle. And he said, I'm warning. Like, it's so hard for him to write this letter. Shalo Yevchu. Chalila, sofei atfilos. The end of tefillos shouldn't turn to hafsek waseim in the breaks. Lamode mifgashim chavratim, to just socializing. Chalilim, lighthearted. Chumay shiva bitzimu shayim akipurim. Bitzipiya drucha, tense expectations. Lamachila sicha v'chapara. Bitoch kol kahal Yisrael. And then Rav Amital signed his name. Then Rav Aaron signed his name. Just sign your name here. So he signed his name. And then Rav Aaron signed his name. You can have this letter. Now, I have to tell you, I don't know what goes on in other shiurim. I don't know what their name do say or don't say. It hurts me a little bit. I come down from Yom Kippur and I just see people. I can't tell you that you're going to walk down to the Mimbar and everyone's going to be following this letter. But I don't think even they post the letter anymore. So you can have to have a little bit of a personal dome of silence ahead, you know, a little personal space, and say, you know what? This might be Yom Kippur. Talk to people. Obviously, Gemar Chasim Atov, it's a big mitzvah today. At the, you know, in between Kol Nidrei and Maariv, everyone walks around wishing everyone Gemar Chasim Atov, Slicha Mechila, so that's part of it. Obviously, we want to wish people Gemar Chasim Atov. If someone, you know, is afraid to fast or you know, needs some encouragement, have an easy fast, a meaningful fast, anything that's relevant to the day. Obviously, relevant to tefillah, someone needs your help in tefillah, someone needs help getting whatever. Don't forget to bring tomorrow a little shmata from your room or two or three paper towels for all the kriyas. When you bow down here, you're not allowed to bow down because it's a marble floor. Not because you don't want to get your pants dirty. You're not supposed to bow down on a marble floor. So you want to have something to bow down on during Karim or Mishtachim. It could be two paper towels. It could
be your knees or your head or both?
I'm sorry?
Are your knees or your head or both?
Let's try to have both. Try to have both. So you have two things for your knees and one thing for your face. And if you don't have for your face, it's as long as you have for your knees. But the medic is to have a little bit of each. And but so you know, there's always like, you know, hand out the paper towels. Can you have a paper towel? Can I have a paper towel? So it's always like, you know, everyone's handing them around. So obviously, anything that will help people, you know, Kippur, to daven. But just, you know, just try to walk away for a day. And this is my final Yom Kippur message. Okay, we've talked about so many things. We've talked about trying to make it authentic, trying to visit dark places, trying to dig. And fly. That's really the tension of Yom Kippur. On the one hand, you're trying to get into yourself. On the other hand, you're trying to get to Shemayim. And make sure you're doing both. Make sure you're being stretched in both directions. Don't turn it only into a day of thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Make sure you look at yourself. Unlike Rosh Hashanah, which is a day of pure Malchus, and you just want to feel Hashem's presence, there's a day to really self-inspect. Start the process. You may not be that successful. It takes a lot of emotional maturity. And quite frankly, you're starting. Some of you are more emotionally aware of what you're feeling. Some of you are less emotionally aware. So you're starting a process. And as you go through the process, you'll start to understand yourself better. You'll start to be more honest with yourself. You'll start to... Unless you're honest with yourself, you're never going to change. Like the two greatest gifts I can give you for change are honesty and courage. It's a simple two-step process, but each of those two steps are really hard. The honesty to see yourself as you are. Sometimes you're honest, and it's just hard to change. And it's just like, I can't do that. It's too scary. It's too frightening. If you have those two traits, you'll be really successful. You know who you are. Like, when's the last time someone pulled down the shade on yourself? Like, when's the last time, like, all of a sudden you heard something about yourself that you didn't realize was true, and you know, that's true. Like, I remember when I was your age, like, I was, my mother and my aunt were visiting right when I started yeshiva. Like, they came with me on the plane, right? Think of that image. They came on the plane for a family simcha. And I was with them in the hotel room. You know, I was staying with them. And I was like half sleeping, taking a nap on the couch. And my aunt told my mother. This is like 38 years ago. I don't think my mother and my aunt remember, but I remember like it was yesterday. I remember where it was. And my aunt told my mother, why does he always think he's so funny? Why is he making so many corny jokes? Like, doesn't he realize they're all like really stupid jokes and corny jokes? Yeah, when I was a 17-year-old kid, I was doing that, whatever. Now I'm allowed to. I'm a Rebbe. I make corny. Now it's part of my profession. But in those days, like, you know, and like, I was devastated. Like, I was crying. But doesn't my aunt love me? Like, why would she be saying that behind my back? And it took me like a day or two to recover. And then, like, after 2 days, I said, this is great. Like, I heard something about myself from people who love me. They're not bad mouthing me. There's my aunt and my mom. Like, they're nothing against me. So maybe I am that person. I really worked hard to stop being that person. And, you know, like, I hope it was successful. It made me a better friend and a better person, more easy to be around. Like, no one likes someone's always like cracking stupid jokes. And I was making, and, like, it was annoying to people. So, like, there are a couple times in my life where, like, all of a sudden you realize how people see you or who you really are in ways that it's hard for you to face during your whole life. So, and here comes the time, like, what is a good, like, question to ask yourself. What truth will you uncover about yourself over the next 24 hours? What truth do you not know about yourself? Because you always live with defense mechanisms, denial. But tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, what will you know about yourself that you don't know right now, or that you're not willing to admit right now? That's a great, I mean, if I gave you that, so look, you know, I'll give you a private way to discover that. Here's a pill, take the pill, all of a sudden your eyes, you take the pill, you want to know more about yourself. So dig deep into yourself. When things hurt you, follow that thought because you're touching raw nerves. Don't be afraid to let your tears flow if you're not at that stage. Don't be frustrated if you can't. Don't feel guilty. Everyone does their best. There's no like ultimate tshuva, or it's all a gradation. A lot of people get caught by the following step. They're like, I'm here in front of our Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm making all these pledges, but come on. You and I both know that September of 2022, it's going to be the same story, the same movie. I'll be in front of our Kodesh Baruch Hu, and like, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be a hypocrite. So how can I, on the one hand, go through Yom Kippur and make all these pledges and all these changes and without being fraudulent, because Hashem sees through me? So the answer to that question is, as long as you're able to generate the conviction over the next 24 hours to say, Hashem, this is what I want to be. And if you gave me that special pill and I can lock in my wants and make them reality, I would do it. I'm totally sincere. I'm totally in right now. I totally want this to be. But you know what? I realize I'm a human being and I'm weak and I'm frail. And I know there's going to be erosion. But that's how you made me. And I'm trying to be a better human being. And less erosion. But I know. But you know what? If you told me that I could flip a switch, snap my fingers, take a pill, lock in it, like, you know me better than I know myself. You know secrets about me that I don't even know. And you know how deeply I want this. Take my want. Today. Not my performance over the next 12 months. Just take my want. That's a real thing. Hashem takes your want, even if you can't implement it. And that's how you break the cycle of hypocrisy. Come on, let's be honest, let's be real. We know that everything you say over the next 24 hours is going to fade. That's human nature. But do you want it to? No. It just does. Okay, I'll try my hardest over the next X years that you gave me on this world to shrink the gap between my desire and my implementation. But until then, judge me on my desire, which is real. And even ask yourself that question, Rabbi Tarragon's pill question. If I gave you that pill tomorrow at 4, and whatever you're feeling, whatever you're planning, it would happen, would you take the pill? If your answer is yes, then you're good to go. I said, I'm a pill man. I'm ready to go. This is what I want. I'm going to try. But we all know that humans don't always accomplish everything they set out to accomplish. That's how you break the hypocrisy. So dig into yourself. Climb to Shemayim. Be a Kohen Gadol. Just tonight, after Maariv. Don't walk out after Maariv. Don't just say Aleinu and walk out. Two options to just try. There's about a 40-minute Shir HaYichud, where we say each day praises to Hashem. To talk about the types of praises that we would not say if it's not Yom Kippur. The Vilna Gaon in a minute, I believe, but it's certainly my minute. I don't say Adam Zemiros on Shabbos. Why do I not say Adam Zemiros on Shabbos? Because it's too physical about Hashem. It's just his head is like this and his hair is like that, and just it's too. That's not my thing. I don't describe Hashem in physical terms. It's a minute. Some people don't say Adam Zemiros. Some people are machmir, they don't daven musaf. They say Adam Zemiros. They don't go about a musaf. But I would say Adam Zemiros. When you're in Kippur, I say Adam Zemiros. And in Kippur, I'm lifnei Hashem. As the Zohar says, lifnei mamish. Not lifnei Hashem as in Parshas Re'eh, but lifnei mamish, the Lashon HaZohar. Mamish standing in front of the Kisei HaKavod. Shouting out Baruch Hashem Kivu Machus Leol and Void. So we take a little bit of luxury to talk about Hashem in ways that are more intimate than you normally allow yourself to. And there's a shir that's associated with each day, which, I don't know if you did in your shul, which you say, you know, responsibly, chazan kal, chazan kal. It takes about a half an hour. It's pretty long. And feel free to doze off in the middle. You'll see me dozing, because I'm really tired by that point. But just, you know, taste it. If you haven't ever seen it before, just come for 5-10 minutes. Even if you're exhausted, don't just say, okay, kabbal Hashem, chavim kabbal Hashem, the davar Hashem, okay, run to my bed, hug my pillow, and, you know, just taste a little bit of it and then go to sleep. Or, if you really want to push yourself a little bit, stay for the Shiur Yichud. Again, Maariv will be over tonight around 9:45-ish. It's a little bit later, 9:30, probably 9:15, 9:30, because we're going to make it short and brief. Stay past the Shiur Yichud, or wake up from your little nap during the Shiur Yichud, and just stay for Moshe's Shiur, and just for 5-10 minutes. No one's going to kick you out, but 5-10 minutes just to, you know, that people actually learn Torah on Yom Kippur. You actually sit and learn seriously. People stay up all night. I just did a Shiva visit yesterday. 2 days ago, I did 2 Shivas. I went to the room, and somehow the name of Reb David Lifshitz came up. Reb David Lifshitz was Rabbi Ari Waxman from Shaul Levin's grandfather. So Reb David Lifshitz came up. I daven Yom Kippur with Reb David Lifshitz. And part of my Yom Kippur is shaking hands with Reb David Lifshitz and hearing him say the Avinu Malkeinu is for the people that died in the Shoah, because he lived through the Shoah. My point is, Yom Kippur has to be more than davening. There has to be parts of it. I remember doing this at Yom Kippur. I remember this Yom Kippur. I remember, like, there's got to be something that you'll tell your grandchildren about Yom Kippur. And not just when you have grandchildren, but something that will be part of, like, if you ask me, like, my top 10 highlights of Yom Kippur, not relating to davening. Davening in a hospital once, Shmirah on Yom Kippur, or like, what does Yom Kippur mean to me when I look back in retrospect? Like, what's my feel? What's my taste of Yom Kippur? So you showed up to the shiur. You just sat for 5-10 minutes, and you saw Rav Moshe in his kiddul, and everyone's sitting around learning and listening to a shiur. And then you say, you know, I don't stay for the shiur. I'm exhausted. I want to make sure I can daven the next day. I run back home, and I say Kriya Shema, and I go to sleep. And, but just, it's not Shabbos Parshas Vayechi. You finish daven, let's go to Kiddush. It's Yom Tov. It's Yom Kippur. People spend time in the Beis HaMedrash. So just give yourself a little te'ima, a little taste after davening, and then obviously each person based on the level of strength, how much sleep you need, go get the necessary sleep for sure, for sure, for sure. At this point, for sure, you should be sleeping and getting your koch. And two final messages. One message is the Sicha of Rav Amital that changed my life, because I always had a hard time when I was your age. Ni'ilah always seemed very, very asynchronous, antithetical. Like the whole Yom Tov, Hashem was the Melech HaRachamim, who was there for me, who was being Mochel V'Saleach, who loves me. And now, what's Ne'ilah? What was I told? The gates are closing. And I have to get my tefillahs in before the gates close. And it just seemed like so strident. Like, if Hashem loves me, why is he closing the gates? I once said Hashem became a gatekeeper 2 hours ago. Oh, he loved me. Now he shut the gates on my tefillahs. And I never could reconcile those two. It was really hard for me to transition from Hashem as the Avaracham and Shemea Kol Tefillahs Amo Yisrael to the gatekeeper who's closing the gates. Now, okay, too late. Get your last tefillahs in. It just didn't seem right. And Rav Amital Sicha changed that for me. Rav Amital Sicha is based on a Medrash. Medrash talks about the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim Perakeh. Kodol di dofek. The man comes knocking on the door of the woman. Who's the man? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pischli achosi rayasi yonasi tamasi. Open up the door for me. Let me in, Hashem says. What's the next part of the Pasuk? Yadai not for more. I finally get up, try to open the door for my HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the man, and my hands are full of spice and perfume and aroma, and I touch the door handle, kapot manol, to open up, and unfortunately the man has disappeared and I lost another opportunity. The Medrash says, kamti ani leftorach v'dodi z'tfilas shacharis. V'yadayim tfilas marav. V'yadayim natfu mor z'tfilas shacharis. Al kaposa manul. What does manul sound like? Manul? What is this medrash saying? It's just saying that Yom Kippur can be reduced into the following scene. Listen carefully. It's an amazing idea. This is my, I think, I haven't checked, but the only share. I think thousands of people have heard this year. My summary of this year, obviously. Last year, someone told me he gave the share to street minion or Neila. And Woodmere, like everyone's tearing and crying and sobbing. Hashem is trying to get into your heart. The gates that are trying to be pried open are not the gates in Shemayim. Those gates are always open. The real drama is your gates. Will you open the gates? You're on the other side of the door, as in Shir HaShirim. And Hashem's trying to get in. Hashem wants to get into your heart. And He's knocking. Let me in. And we're trying to open the gates. And this is the last chance to open the gate. That's the big drama of Tzilas Ne'ilah and of Yom Kippur. Not whether Hashem will close the gates of Shemayim. Will I be open? Hashem can enter any gate He wants. There's only one gate Hashem can't enter. You know that gate He can't enter? Your heart. Because He gave you Bechira Chavshis, and you can close your heart or you can open your heart. And that's what we're trying to do. And Ne'ilah is your last chance not to open the gates of heaven. Ne'ilah is your last chance to open your heart and let Hashem be there. Think of the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. We are the woman and we're trying to open the door and Hashem's on the other side trying to get in because He can't get in. Think about that during the Ne'ilah and Yom Kippur. Not about the gates of Shemayim. Those are always open. Over the gates of Libo Shel Adam, which is so hard to open up. And the last thing I'll leave you with is Rabbi Akiva. Just imagine Rabbi Akiva talking to people in some cave or some field. Who knows where they were keeping Yom Kippur because the Beis HaMikdash was burning. It may have even been that year like that. I'd give anything to know whether this statement of Rabbi Akiva was said 3 months after the real Tisha B'Av. It may have been. Put yourself back into that scene. Jerusalem is burning. The synagogues have been completely disassembled. There are Roman soldiers, pig soldiers marching through Jerusalem, killing, raping, drinking, abusing, plundering. And a couple Jews are getting together for Tfilas Yom Kippur in some field somewhere. Not in the base of Medrash of Yeshiva Har Etzion, not in the base of Mikdash. Rav Amichel told us about the Yom Kippur he spent davening in a cellar in Hungary in 1944. As the war in that part of Europe was ebbing to a close. And they were half under the control of their Nazi camp leader that was still free. Like, it wasn't clear whether the Russians had come yet or not come. It was a very ambiguous situation. Like, at some point, Rolandel told us that the commando, the Gestapo leader, said, okay, I've been guarding you, now you have to guard me from the Russians. Like, there was a very strange, and they came to this little town in Hungary, they had nothing to eat, they had a few morsels of bread to eat before Yom Kippur. They got together in a basement in the dark without machzorim. One guy had a machzor, maybe. And they davened as best as they could. And he said, he remembers when they said, Uvechein tein kavod Hashem li'amecha, tehila l'reecha, v'sikva tova l'dorshecha, v'fisla pedla mi'achalim lach. They were laughing at themselves. Tein kavod Hashem li'amecha. We're being rounded up and shot like dogs. We're cheaper than dog's blood. Tein kavod Hashem li'amecha. And somehow, Rav Amital lived to see a world in which Tein Kavod Hashem Li'amecha really came true. You can just look out the window, Tein Kavod Hashem Li'amecha. You don't have to think about it. So I think a lot about Rav Amital, I think a lot about Rabbi Akiva gathering Am Yisrael, and they were downtrodden and sullen and sad. They lost their families, they lost their homes. But now it was really, really, really sad, because what does it mean to have Yom Kippur without a Beis HaMikdash? Our Yom Kippur is very private. Their Yom Kippur was Kohen Gadol, and Lashon Shel Zoharis, and Korbanos, and Tzara Lashem, and Tzara Lazazel, and Kitaras, and Kodesh HaKadoshim, and Tfilah, and Mikvah, and Big Day Love, and it's just nothing. Garnished and garnished. Nothing and nothing. And Rabbi Akiva told them, I would love to know when he said this. Ashrechim Yisrael, Mishnah Yoma. Lefnei mi atem mitarim. O mi mitar eschem, avichem sheba shemayim. Shenemar, mikveh Yisrael Hashem. You don't need a mikdash. You don't need a Tzara Lazazel. You don't need Big Day Lavan. You don't need a tzitz. You know what you need? It's Kiddush Baruch Hu. And I'm about to say the Kiddush of all Kiddushim. Everything we've said in the Siddur about Yom Kippur, listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Lifnei Hashem, Rabbi Akiva saying, is not the destination. Lifnei Hashem is the journey. You would think to be a Lifnei Hashem, spend 24 hours purging yourself, purifying yourself, cleansing yourself, improving yourself. Okay! Mi'ala Bahar Hashem, Mi'akom Imkom Kacho, Nekicha Payim, Var Levav, Asholan Asa Lashav Nafshi. Let me spend 24 hours becoming the Kikapayim. Now, this is easy to be the Kikapayim. What about here? Okay, the Kikapayim, cleaning off the filth, cleaning off all the things I've seen, cleaning off all the things I've said, done, heard, thought. Now I'm ready, Hashem. Now it could be all the Bahar Hashem. Rikira says, Hashem is the mikvah. Come into the mikvah with all of your filth, with all of your flaws, with all of your dirt, with all of your nigei levav, with all of your heart and tzaras, and Hashem wants you to come dirty and use Him as the mikvah. Not to spend 24 hours preparing to meet Hashem. That's important also. But even if you can't, just mikvah Yisrael Hashem. Come to the mikvah, just come to me. Come to be with Hashem. I hope there's one person in this room, I really sincerely hope there's one person in this room that's hurt that they can't go to the mikvah today. Maybe there's more. It's so important to you that it's like, it hurt me or something, I couldn't go. I was like deliberating all night, so you know, let me go today. I ran out and went. But you shouldn't, obviously. But listen to Rabbi Akiva. Listen to Rabbi Akiva talking to you. You talk to them. We're not based on mikdash. We're not have Kohen Gadol, but you have a Kodesh Baruch Hu's mikvah. Now he's talking to you. A Kodesh Baruch Hu is your mikvah. You don't need anything else. See if you can flip the script. Not that Hashem is where you want to stand in front after you cleanse yourself, but Hashem is the way you cleanse yourself. Spend 24 hours with Hashem starting tonight. Well, what do you mean? I'm not ready yet. I need to say vidois. I need to get clean. I need to pure. No. Open your heart as quickly as you can. Stand around and go to Shabbat as quickly as you can. Let Him do it for you. Let Him be the mikvah. He will cleanse you. Just the 24 hours itself will cleanse you. 24 hours in the mikvah of Hashem. Just absorb what I just said. It's an amazing concept. You won't think it to be true. You think, Mi'ala Bahar Hashem. Just think, listen to David HaMelech. Mi'ala Bahar Hashem. Mi'akum become Nekei Kapayim. So become a Nekei Kapayim. So you can be Mi'ala Bahar Hashem. And if you say, no. That's what David HaMelech was saying. Yom Kippur is not for that. Maybe the rest of the year. Yom Kippur is for, Ki Be'yom Hazeh Yechaper Lechem Letareschem Mikoch HaTasechem Lefnei Hashem Titarah. Guys, the stakes this year are great. It's my job to make the stakes great. The stakes you'll have in my house and the stakes in life. You're not a kid anymore. This is your life. The decisions you take this year will shape who you will be the rest of your life. And some of that shaping, obviously, is never too late, but some of that shaping, you can't do it later. You either do it now or it's really hard to do it later. This is your year. This is your year to stand up and become yourself and author your identity and become that great person that you can be. I want to wish you Hatzlacha. Daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything we've talked about, but also there should be a little part of your davening for the people who are sick in Corona, for yourself and your family, for your Kapara and your Slicha. But at some point, davening and your Shana Aleph and Yeshiva and Haratzion and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I really, really want to. And please help me. Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't even know if I want to. But if I dig deep down, I think I want to. I just don't have the bridges to bring it from that murky depth into my frontal lobe. So can you do that for me? Can you be the bridge? Like if I peel away. Yeah, of course I want. Yeah, I just, you know, I'm young and I'm afraid and I don't know and it's all frightening. But I gotta get me past that fear. Kadosh Baruch Hu, just take me past it. Bridge it for me. Bridge me over. Take me to the other side. Take me to the other side of confidence. Dig and be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me this year. Help me do it. Help me have the strength. Help me have the wisdom. Help me have the firmkeit. Help me have the Yirat Shamayim. Help me have the honesty. Help me have the will. Just meet Hashem at a point of honesty. Meet Him where you are. Don't mouth things that you're not. You're wasting your time. I say you're wasting Hashem's time, but that's impossible. He doesn't have time, but just wasting your own time. Wherever you're at, find that place and meet Hashem right there. Say, Hashem, get me past this. Get me to where I need to be. You're the mikvah. You're the mikvah for my chataim, and you're the bridge. Right? I'm adapting Rabbi Akiva. You're the mikvah, and you're the bridge. If I were there, Rabbi Akiva would say, you're not just the mikvah, you're also the bridge. What does it mean? The emotional bridge. From deep consciousness to Prabhu consciousness. What does consciousness mean? I say, wait 1800 years till psychology develops. You'll understand. Those people didn't know what consciousness was, but you'll see. In the modern world, we talk about consciousness. We talk about deep levels of one and higher levels of one. And the higher levels are the part we can articulate. The deeper levels are the parts that are incoherent. To go deep. That's why we have psychology. Part of the reason we're saying you're in psychology is that we can understand deeper levels of identity. Chassidus. Right. You may not know you want it, but you really want it. You may not be such a tzaddik, but you know that deep down. That's what you're this is a post-Freud Yom Kippur. You're supposed to use the developments we have. The ancients didn't talk like this. They weren't aware of layers of identity. We talk like this, so the fact that we live in a modern psychological world should help you in Yom Kippur, daven, the way you think about yourself all year long. Have a Gemara Chesima Tov, everyone. Ksiva Chesima Tov. If there's anyone... Mordechai left too early. They didn't want to throw erasers at, or markers at, or Diet Cokes at, Coke bottles, or anyone who intentionally or unintentionally I hurt. It's just beginning. Yeah. I'm going to start throwing harder. It's all just to get you guys every possible way that I can into this thing called Torah and Yirat Shamayim. However I can get into your bloodstream, I'm going to try my hardest to get under your skin and get you to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu and get you to love His Torah. But if I, in any way, shape, or form, hurt anyone's feelings, I ask you for mechila. Let's all have a Gemara Chesima Tova. Rest up. There are more Ragalach. Take some back to your room. Gemara Chesima Tova.